That all of us together are encouraged. Now, somebody might be mad today, but I hope you don't be mad. Amen. I'm just saying it up front, because I want to tell you the truth about some things, all right? Not from my viewpoint, but from God's viewpoint. Let me start off by reading the passage of Scripture. We're talking about the miracles of Jesus, right? We're talking about the miracles of Jesus. And today, we're going to look at the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Now, when I read the passage, and by the way, this miracle is in what we call the Synoptic Gospels. It's in all three Synoptic Gospels. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's in Luke. I'm going to read the passage in Matthew, the very first one. And I'm going to read Matthew chapter 8. My PowerPoint says that it goes from verses 14 to 15, but I'm going to keep it in the context and read it from verses 14 through 17 of Matthew chapter 8. And then we're going to learn something together. Amen. We're going to learn something together about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, here's how the passage of Scripture reads. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." The title that I've given to this message this morning is Instruction from Our Infirmities. Anybody sick in here this morning, if there's something wrong with you, any way, form, or fashion, put your hands up. If you with me, put your hands up if you're sick in some way, form, or fashion. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're not sick, that is, there's nothing wrong with your blood. There's nothing wrong with your back. There's nothing wrong with your legs. There's nothing wrong with your head. Praise God. Amen. For your health. And by the way, sooner or later, you're going to be in the same boat with the rest of us. You're going to get sick too. Now, many times, y'all, we take our health and our strength, we take it for granted. I mean, I just assume I'm going to get up and be all right. Don't you? And some people, they like to be sick. Or they like to pretend that they're sick. Like some of you, the kids should be gone by now. But you know, some of these kids like to pretend they're sick so they don't have to go to school. And so that they can get lots and lots of attention from mom and dad. Some of us just love attention. And the best way to get attention is to pretend that you are sick. We're going to talk about sickness this morning, everybody, so pay good attention so we can understand what God is doing through our illnesses. Our sicknesses have a way of showing us how frail and how weak. Because see, some of us, we think we're the all-star football player and can't nothing happen to us. You know, we are frail and we are weak, and the proof of the pudding is, notice this, have you ever noticed how easy it is to get sick? Now, I got my flu shot, y'all. I got a flu shot in the hope that I won't get the flu this season. But y'all do know that just because you got a flu shot, that's not going to prevent you from getting the flu, right? Yeah. Some folk get sick no matter how many flu shots they get. Well, you're only supposed to get one. But you're going to get sick this winter. And it's so easy to get sick, and it's so easy to get hurt. And the older you get, the easier it is to get hurt. Now, here's what I want us to learn this morning. Here's what I want us to learn. Our sickness can be used to help us. Listen, our sicknesses can be used to help us appreciate the health and strength that we have from God, and to use that health and that strength that you do have to honor and glorify God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you use your health and your strength to glorify God. Now, what we're going to do, I'm going to look at this miracle of the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. And we're going to look at three stages. I broke it up into three stages. We're going to look at three stages of the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. And from those three stages, we're going to learn how our sicknesses can help us to appreciate our health and strength. And thereby, we're going to learn to glorify God, whether we are sick or healthy. Amen. So let's look at stage one. Stage one. Peter's mother-in-law, if you heard me read the story, you know, out the text, Peter's mother-in-law got sick, right? And the fact that she got sick implies that she was previously healthy. If you, when you're sick, that means you weren't, there was a time when you weren't sick. Then you got sick, hopefully you'll get better. When she was, when Peter's mother-in-law was healthy, that is when, before she got the fever, she went about her normal daily routine of life. Isn't that what you do? You know, you go about your daily normal routine of life. When she became sick, and by the way, I don't know how she got that fever. It just says she had a fever. How do people usually get fevers? Well, I guess maybe you're out, when you're outside without a coat, when it's cold out in the winter, you'll get a fever. There are some fevers that are catching, right? Aren't there some fevers that are catching? You can catch it from some other people. We don't know how she got sick. We don't know when she got sick. We don't know where she was when she got sick. We don't even know why she got sick. All we know is that she got sick, and she was laid up in the bed, and she was unable to fulfill her household duties, which means somebody had to cook. Somebody had to clean the house because she was unable to do so. You know, somebody had to do, y'all know what it's like when mama gets sick, y'all got to get busy. And brothers, let me say it to the brothers. Brothers, if you don't know how to cook, you out of luck. It's TV dinners. It's Campbell soup. Pot pies. Because mama cannot get up and cook you no roast beef because she's laying in the bed sick. Now, let me give you some instructions that I believe we can learn from this. You know, many people are asking, the Bible gives a number of reasons why you and I become sick. You like Peter's mother-in-law, the Bible gives a number of reasons why we become sick. Sometimes, now listen to me, because I'm not on your bad side yet. All right. Sometimes God allows you and I to get sick to strengthen our faith. He just lets you get, there's no reason for you to get sick. He just lets you get sick, and that sickness is used by God to strengthen your faith. Here's what the Bible says in the book of James. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. It reads like this. My brethren, y'all seen this, right? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, and sickness is a trial for many of us. Sickness is a trial. Knowing that the testing of your faith, now, when it says testing of your faith, God don't need to find out how faithful you are. He already knows how faithful you are, but you need to know how faithful you are. And the sickness is going to bring out what you really are like, you know, before your God. So that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, that is mature and complete, lacking nothing. So sometimes when you get sick, don't be feeling guilty like God don't love me no more because I'm sick, or I don't have God's favor because I'm sick, or God is mad at me because I'm sick. That may not be the case at all. You got sick because God is using the sickness to strengthen you, to mature you, to help you grow up as a believer in Christ. But sometimes sickness is given by God as a form of discipline. Sometimes we were acting a fool, and God will use sickness to whoop our behind. You understand what I'm saying? You say, Brother Smith, that's a cruel thing to do. God's going to punish me. Well, I always suggest don't play with God then. Don't mess with him like that. Listen to what the Bible says. You know this verse. In fact, we're going to have communion in just a little bit. You know, today, this is the first Sunday. And look what the Bible says for people who don't handle the communion properly. Here's what it says. For this reason, you know, partaking of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. For this reason, many are weak. And he's talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians. Many are weak and sick among you. Now, check that last one. And many of you have sleep. You know what? Do you guys know that God can bring death into your life as a form of discipline? And I'm talking to Christians. It's not unsaved. He can do it to unsaved folk too, but he can do it to Christians as well. You get into some stuff that you shouldn't be into, and God can take you out of here. You'll be, Brother Smith, are you threatening me? No, I'm warning you. It's a warning that, you know, you be careful how you come before the Lord. Sometimes sickness is given so that when you get healed, some of y'all, you cause people to come to Christ in your illness. And this happened a lot. This happened to a lot of people. They get sick and they go to the hospital, right? And the doctors and the nurses, they're working with you in your illness. And because of your love for Christ, because of your faith, they are enamored by your faith, and they come to Christ simply. You're the one that's sick. And you're encouraging them, and you lead them to Christ through your illness. So sometimes, you say, Brother Smith, is that really true? Well, remember, when we'll look at that, this healing later on, the healing of the blind man caused people to come to faith. The healing of the nobleman's son. Remember, we looked at the nobleman's son several times, a couple of weeks back. And remember, when he saw that his son got healed, his whole household, you know, came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So sometimes God will use your illness to touch the hearts of other people with the claims of Christ and encourage them to put their trust in Jesus Christ through your illness. Now, I know what you're thinking. If you're thinking like me, you say, well, Lord, if they're going to get saved, please don't do it by making me sick. Let them get saved by me being healthy and strong. Don't strike me down so that folk can get saved. You know what my attitude is? Lord, if you got to strike me down so that folk can get saved, here I am, Lord. Use me. Sometimes sickness is all sickness, my friends, all sickness is a result of sin in the world. Sickness exists because sin exists. When Adam sinned, sin came into the world, and death as a result of sin. We know the story. And all physical death is a result of some kind of sickness. Now, I know some of you say, no, I died quietly in my sleep. Well, yeah, you died quietly in your sleep because your heart stopped or something stopped working in your body. So we would consider that an ailment, a sickness. And you know what, my friends? Jesus dealt with the cause of sickness. The cause of sickness is sin. And Jesus dealt with sin on the cross when he paid the penalty for our sin. But you don't want to know a secret? One day Jesus is going to deal with the very presence of sickness. Because when we are in heaven with Jesus, guess what? You're never going to be sick again. That is, no headaches, no toothaches, no backaches, no aches of any kind. You know, I still wonder about that. You know, no pain, no sickness at all. Not even a cold. When I'm in heaven, I'm not even going to cough. I'm not even going to cough. Now, I don't know about you. That's amazing to me. Because all I know in this life is sickness. Now, that was the first stage. Peter's mother-in-law got sick. But then the second stage Peter's mother-in-law, she got healed. She got healed. And her healing was a miraculous intervention by the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how he healed her. He touched her hand. He just touched her hand. I mean, what do you do when people get a fever? Mothers, do you know, what do y'all do when your baby gets sick? Well, they in the bed, right? Now, but anyway, do y'all put her in cold water? Y'all put the baby in cold water? Y'all don't do that? Okay, you put the cold rag, you know, on there, because they got to go in cold water. It's time to go to the doctor, right? Time to go to the hospital, you know. You put her in. That's not much. You give them an aspirin. You give them an aspirin. You don't really just touch them and hope that the fever is going to go away. You know that ain't going to happen. When Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, I want you to notice something. Her healing was immediate. As soon as he touched her hand, the fever was gone. And it was complete. She had no fever left over. There was no lingering illness. It was a complete healing. And you know what that does tell you something about Jesus, right? You know that Jesus has the authority and the power to heal any illness at any time. All right, let me ask y'all something. Let me ask you guys something. Do you guys believe that right now, all Jesus has to do is say something, and everybody in every hospital in every city of the United States would get healed just by the very word of Jesus Christ? Y'all believe that? Y'all believe that he has the authority, that he has the ability, that he has the power to do that? Now, I believe that too. All he has to do is speak. And you don't have to do no, you don't have to turn no flips, give the church $1 billion. You have to do nothing. Jesus can do it just by the sheer will of his word. But that leads to a major inquiry. There's a lot of people ask, I've been asked this question, you know, by a lot of people, y'all. And here's the question. Why doesn't the Lord heal everybody? Why doesn't the Lord just heal everybody? Why does the Lord heal some people but not heal other people? Why is it? And I'm talking about Christians, too. There are Christians that are just as godly as you are who love Jesus, and they are sick and they don't get well. Well, I'm gonna give you three answers, because I got something serious to say to you. Number one, listen, y'all, I don't mean to be mean, all right? I don't mean to be harsh or hard-hearted about this, but I need to let y'all know something. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is not obligated to heal anybody. He's not obligated to heal you. Let me say it again. He ain't obligated to heal you. He is the one, and that includes saved or unsaved. Say, just because you say, that don't mean that you can demand anything from the Lord. In other words, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, he decides who he will heal, when he will heal them, where he will heal them, how. When I say how he will heal them, he can decide to heal you through an aspirin or to heal you supernaturally. He can use a doctor or don't use a doctor. By the way, just because the doctor's working on you don't mean the doctor brought your healing. Just because you got an operation does not necessarily mean that the doctor healed you through the operation. Y'all do know that it was the Lord that healed you, right? I don't care how many operations you got or how much medicine you are taking. So the Lord decides how he will heal you and for how long you will be healed. He decides how long you're going to be healed, and he decides why he will heal you. And it's all according, not because you did anything good, because you didn't. When God heals you, it is according to the good, wise counsel of his will. And i.e., he heals you because he wanted to. Not because of anything that you did that deserves. Nobody deserves a healing from God. Now, here's my second answer. Nobody, saved or unsaved, and now we got to pay attention on this one. Think about this one. Nobody is in a position to dictate to God, God, give me a healing. You ain't in no position to dictate. You can't demand. You definitely can't force God. And you cannot manipulate the Lord. You can't manipulate God for healing. You know why? Because he is the master of the universe. and he decides what he's going to do, when he's going to do it, and how he's going to do it, not you. But I'm a Christian. I deserve to be healed. So what? I deserve to be healed too, if you want to go that route. But that's all on God, not on you. So here's what we do when we pray. We pray for people that are sick. Because see, there are people in my family that are sick. There are people in my church family that are sick. There are people that we're praying for. There are people that I love dearly, and they are sick. All right? All we can do is ask God nicely. Ask God nicely. Ask God humbly. Ask God with sincerity. Ask God respectfully for a healing. Don't you go before God and say, I demand in the name of Jesus. Ooh, whoa. Now you in trouble. Because you don't even do that to your mama. If I went to my mama making a demand for something, I'd be picking myself up off the floor. Because mama don't play that. You ask nicely, and then mama will decide whether or not she wants you to have that. And you do the same thing with God. Did that make sense, everybody?
Yes.
Now, let me teach you something. Let me teach you something. Let me teach you something this morning. Let me give you some lessons about God's right to heal or not to heal, okay? Just because you are a Christian, just because you love Jesus, just because you claim you are a mature Christian, that does not exempt you from sickness in this earthly life. Some of us have been Christians for a very long time. I've been a Christian for over 40 years. But just because I've been a Christian, just because I serve the Lord, that is no exemption from sickness. But a lot of folk have some misunderstanding about that. Let me just briefly go over some misunderstandings that some of my brothers and sisters have about sickness. Now, my first misunderstanding is this. Some Christians attempt to use 1 Peter 2:24. They attempt to use that passage, and here's what that passage, healing is in the redemption. That because Jesus died on the cross for you, he automatically paid for your healing as well. Not only did he take care of your sin, but he took care of your sickness as well. And so a lot of people use this passage, which says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And then it says, by whose stripes you were healed. How many of you heard that? By his stripes you are healed. I know a lot of folk, a lot of TV preachers use that one too. By his stripes you are healed. You know what? He's quoting, the Apostle Peter is quoting an Old Testament passage. He's quoting Isaiah 53:5, but he is not talking about physical healing. He's talking about the healing from sin, from the consequences of sin. So you can't use that verse to claim a healing from God. You got to ask nicely. But there's a second misunderstanding that a lot of folk have, and they use the one that we were looking at in Matthew. You know, Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, it says, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And that Matthew is also quoting from the book of Isaiah. And some folk say, well, when Jesus healed people, you know, he took our infirmities. That is, he rooted out healing so you can demand a healing. In fact, they go as far as to make you feel guilty. They say, if you're sick and you haven't gotten healed, it's because you don't have no faith in the Lord. It's because you are not living right, or you are not doing something. And so I feel guilty because, you know, I got high blood pressure and God hasn't healed me from my high blood pressure. Your high blood pressure ain't got nothing to do with it. When Jesus healed people, and you know, we've been looking at the healings of Jesus, you know, the miracles of Jesus. When he healed people, he confronted the cause of sickness. And the cause of sickness is sin. And Jesus laid the groundwork, the foundation by which not only will he destroy, you know, all sickness, but root it out of his universe forever and ever and ever. And he's going to deal with that. One day Jesus is going to come bring in his kingdom, and there's going to be no sickness there. But here's the main misunderstanding that folk have. Some attempt to use, this is the famous one, the book of 3 John, verse 2. And they said, beloved, here's what it teaches. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prosper. A lot of folks use that verse to claim to say that you as a Christian can claim a healing because, you know, God promised that you will be that you will prosper and be in good health. You know what? That's a, I consider that a blessing that one Christian can lay on another Christian. I can say, may God, you know, bless you with health. May God bless you with prosperity. Hey, and I pray that God does bless you. I bless you on your job, bless you in your family, you know, bless you, your overall well-being. I pray that God blesses you in that area. But you can't claim it as a right. You can't demand it from God as a right. You have no right to say to God, hey, my wallet is supposed to be filled with cash. God will say to you, the little that you do have, you're going to lose. So don't go to God with like that. You go to God with respect. So you can't, you just because you are a Christian, that don't mean you won't get sick. And by the way, let me share this with you anyway. Even if God does heal you, yes, and saints, if God heals you, praise the Lord. But even if he does heal you, let me tell you something. All healings that you get in this life, all healings are temporary anyway. Because if you get healed from one sickness, you're just going to get another one. That's all it is. So no matter how bad it is, if you get healed, I praise God if your cancer, for those who have cancer, your cancer goes into remission, praise God. Because there are Christians whose cancers did go into remission. Praise God. Give him the praise. Give him the glory. But you're just going to get sick with something else. So you still got to live your life as a life of trust in the Lord. And let me share this with you. If you the issue is not, are you sick or are you well? The issue is, number one, do you have spiritual healing, as your soul says? And the next issue is, are you trusting God whether you are healthy or sick? Are you trusting the Lord? Or do you have an attitude with God because you happen to be sick at this time? Let me talk to you about the last stage, stage three. See, Peter's mother-in-law, she got sick, right? Stage two, she got healed. But check this out, stage three. She got busy. She got busy, didn't she? When she got healed, what did she do? She started serving. She started serving. You see, now sickness can be a hindrance, y'all. Let's face it. Sickness can be a hindrance. It does hinder your daily routine. I mean, you can't do nothing if you're sick. I mean, really sick. Now, not this pretend sickness. And not only that, you know, sickness puts a burden on the rest of your family. Now, praise God for those of you who have to take care of a sick relative or, you know, like your mom or dad or somebody that's sick. Praise God for you because that is a big burden. There are a lot of Christians that I know who are taking care of a sick family member. And they have a very tremendous burden on them. They're always tired. They're frustrated because their life is on hold as they take care of somebody in their family that's sick. And so they need just as much prayer as a sick person does because they have a lot of burdens on them. But sickness can also, another thing about it, a hindrance that sickness can do, along with the pain and the emotional stress, but sickness can bring financial ruin. I mean, if you get sick, it can wipe you out. Can it? If you really get sick and have to go to the hospital or get an operation, even if you do have insurance, it can wipe your bank account out. It can wipe you out. A lot of folk have been wiped out because they got sick. So you can be healthy today and living a good life, get sick tomorrow and lose everything that you've worked for because of sickness. Can do that to you. And sometimes sickness robs you of your dreams. Sometimes because you students, those of you that are in college, you get sick and you may have to quit college. You get sick and you may have to quit a certain job. It'll mess up your career. You can have a promising career and then you get sick and you have to give it up. Sickness can be a hindrance, but let me just give you some good news. You know, your health and your healing, that's an opportunity for you and I to praise God. If you are healthy, you have a reasonable amount of health, praise God, and you should be in the house of the Lord giving God some praise. And in fact, let me say something to you. Those of us who come up with some silly excuses for why we can't be in the house of the Lord, we should be ashamed of ourselves. You should be ashamed of yourself if you are healthy and you're able to get out of bed and put you on, you know, wash yourself up, put some. You ought to be ashamed of yourself coming up with a silly excuse for why you can't be in the house of the Lord and worshiping the Lord. Amen. Let me just say it. So, and I look at it like this. Now, look, if I am healthy enough to worship God, I'm going to do it. Here's what I mean. If I have to have my legs cut off because of some sickness that I have no control, if my legs are cut off, right, I'm going to roll up in here in a wheelchair. I'm still going to praise God. If my arm is broke, I will come to the house of the Lord with my hand in a sling. All right, if I gotta come in a walker, I'll be here in a walker. Y'all understand? I'm not going to allow sickness to stop me from praising and serving the Lord. I'm not gonna let that be an excuse. Now, true. Some of us, our sickness is real. That's why I praise God for you, Brother Marlon. You know, you go to the nursing. See, the folk at the nursing, they can't get out and come to church. They can't. All right. Sometimes you are bedridden and you can't get up. I'll tell you what, saints, listen. Let me give you a point up here. If you can't get out to the house of worship, then by all means do this. Call the elders of the church. Call Brother Smith. Call the board and say, y'all, I'm bedridden. Y'all come on over here and let's have worship because I can't get out of bed, but I still want to worship the Lord. So bring a couple of church members here. Bring some of the praise team. Y'all come over to my house and lead me into worship. Don't let your illness be an excuse not to serve the Lord. Does that make sense, y'all? I know sickness is real, but it don't have to be an excuse to get away from serving the Lord. And no matter whether you are sick or whether you are well, you can still serve God. See, she got sick. She couldn't. Peter's mother-in-law couldn't get out the bed because of her illness. Now I will say this. Now look, y'all. If I got the flu, I'm not gonna come here and give y'all the flu. Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. If I got something like that or catching illness, I'm gonna have to stay home. But just because I have to stay home and can't come to church because I'm sick, that still don't mean I can't serve the Lord. I can't worship Him even in my flu and in my sickness. I'm still gonna pray. And then when I get better, I won't come back to the house of the Lord. You know, if you got something like that, catching disease, no, don't come to the. You know, that's the Lord saying, don't come among God's people. Don't make them sick. You know. You stay home, but even if you have to stay home, that's still an opportunity for you to serve God, right? Don't use sickness as an excuse, because that's what many people are doing. She was sick, she couldn't get out of bed, but she got well. And the first thing she did when she got well was she served the Lord and those that were in the household. Have the same attitude. My brothers and sisters, have that attitude of serving the Lord, whether you are sick or whether you are well. Amen. Amen. So let me give you this challenge. Blessed Hope Bible Church, are you trusting the Lord with your health, with your healing, and let me add one in there, with your sickness? Are you trusting the Lord with your health, with whatever healing? You see, look, when the Lord heals you, if you say God heals you, I know many of you say God healed me, right? Praise should be coming out of your mouth. Praise should be coming out of your house, out of your mouth, if you claim that God healed you from something. And even if you're sick, instead of whining and complaining about your illness, you should be trusting the Lord with your illness. Lord, I can't get out because I'm sick. But that don't mean I stop praising you. I'm still praising you, and I'm still looking to you to take care of me, even in my sickness. And when I get out of the sick bed, that is when you let me out of the sick bed, I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to praise your sickness. and I'm gonna praise you well. Sick or well, it don't matter with the Christian. Sick or well is irrelevant to the Christian, because he or she gonna praise God regardless. What about you? Now you're here this Sunday. You're here this Sunday for whatever reason. But are you gonna be here next Sunday, or are you gonna, well, you know, I didn't feel like going to church anyway. I'm definitely not gonna go to church now. See, that's an attitude. That's an attitude thing. But your greatest sickness is not your physical illness. That's minute. Your greatest sickness is what's going on in your soul, your heart. Sin has made you sick. And we can talk about God healing you. You know, people ask, you know, pray for somebody who's sick. First question I ask is, does that person know the Lord? Because if you don't know the Lord, what difference does it make if the Lord heals you? What difference does it make if he heals you of cancer or leukemia or diabetes or whatever disease you, that, what difference does it make if you get healed and you end up in a Christless eternity? You don't spend eternity with Christ. I pray that all of you would get healed. For all of you that are sick, my prayer is that the Lord will heal you. But I'm not demanding it. All I can do is ask. I pray that the Lord heals you. But most of all, I pray that you are healed by salvation. That your soul is healed from the consequences of sin, because that's the real trouble that you are in. Can Jesus heal you? Yes. Can he heal you of your sin sickness? The answer is yes. The question is, will you receive the healing that he has for you? See, Jesus died on the cross to take care of the problem of sin. One day he's got a place for you where there'll be no more sickness. I'm going there. I'm going to be there with Jesus. With or without you, I'd much rather be there with you. Won't you come join me? Won't you come go with me? There may be somebody in here who heard this story about Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. And you realize that you're sick too. But you're sick more than with a physical sickness. You're sick because of sin. Sin has not been taken care of in your life. And Jesus died to take care of what causes sickness, and that's sin. And he asks you to place your trust in him as a healer. Your true healer. Is there anybody in here who needs Jesus, who needs a healing from Jesus? Not just a physical healing, but a spiritual one. We have two counselors up here. And if you're serious about getting healed from Jesus, a true spiritual healing, if you are one of our ladies, we have a lady here for you. If you're one of our men, boys, we have a gentleman here for you. You just come forward and you say, I need Jesus, a true healer. That's all you need to do. They'll take it from there. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I believe in all my heart that all you need to do is speak, and every physical ailment that anybody has will be gone. Sickness is here to remind us that we are sinners in need of a real healing, a healing from you. And there may be somebody in here this morning, oh God, who needs a real healing, a spiritual healing, a healing from the consequences of sin. That healing you provided for them on the cross, and when you rose again from the dead. Lord, don't let anybody walk out of here sick. Let them walk out healed by the healing hand of Jesus. And we will be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory which you richly deserve. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Let all of God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone.